Well, you can turn in your Bibles to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Now, obviously opening to Revelation and, reading a text, there's a lot to talk about in Revelation. It's a book full of symbols about the church, about Jesus, and about the evil enemy. And so, in our sermon series, it's called Clashing Kingdoms. I've preached on, six stories of Jesus casting out demons. And now we're looking at a sermon specifically on Satan, the chief or the ruler of the demons. I think that makes sense to logically go that way. And it's not like I can just one text and give you all the New Testament information about Satan. So what I've done is picked Revelation 12 to kind of start with, to give us some information about Satan. But then I'll also go to other scriptures as we look at this topic tonight on who Satan is, what he does, and how we can resist him. So let's read God's word. And again, I'm not going to be able to exposit everything in this text, but it's kind of a starting point for this topic. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So that's God's word. This is a different topic, I suppose, biblical, because the Bible talks about Satan. But how do you even introduce a sermon like this? I mean, I could give you some details on Satan worship. And one thing that I actually did find is, and I didn't look long, I don't think it's great to Google things like this, but there's a Church of Satan that has a website, and it's a serious one. And when I was looking at it, it's not so much worship of Satan, but it's more worship of self. Although, of course, Satan does like it when people worship themselves. So this website of the Church of Satan is basically a website about worshiping ourselves, and it's against Christianity. Now, again, it's not funny business, to talk about Satan and to look at satanic churches. It's a serious and even dark thing. But I couldn't help but notice an inconsistency on the website. It listed 9 satanic sins, like self-deceit, stupidity, and counterproductive pride. And the website listed 11 satanic rules, like don't give your opinion unless asked. And if a guest annoys you, treat him cruelly. Now, think about that. So it's a Church of Satan that has sins and rules. Do you see the contradiction there? Because Satan doesn't want people to obey, right? He wants them to sin. So I think there is some, and it's maybe, dark humor, but it shows you kind of how irrational and unreasonable false religion is, if you look at a website like that. Now, a better introduction, though, to this topic probably would be to have a discussion of C.S. Lewis's book, Screwtape Letters. I don't know if you've read that before. I'm not going to go into it. But it is a work of fiction, Screwtape Letters is. But there are some biblical truths in there reflected about how Satan wants to pull Christians away from Christ and his church. And that's, when we think about Satan, that's what Satan wants to do. Pull Christians away from Jesus and pull them away from his church. And so that's why, because of our topic, our sermon series, that's why I thought it was good to stop and have a sermon on Satan. It's good to know about our sworn enemy so we can better fight him and know his devices and his schemes and learn how to resist him. So again, I've mentioned already, but first there's 3 points tonight, and I probably should have gotten a handout, but the 3 points are pretty straightforward. Satan, who he is, what he is like or what he does, and how you as Christians can resist him. Who he is, what he's like, and how you can resist him. Now again, this is a topical sermon, so I'm going to go to different scriptures and give kind of a biblical summary. Can't do it all in one sermon, but I hope just to give you a nice biblical summary. So who is Satan? Now, when it comes to talking about Satan and demons and the demonic realm, as I've already mentioned, we don't want to believe something that's false or untrue. So, you know, we don't want to get our beliefs about Satan and demons from movies or TV shows or Twitter memes or something like that. If we start to believe other sources besides Scripture for our views on Satan, we're going to begin to think that Satan is red and he has a pitchfork and horns or something dumb like that. So when we talk about Satan and when we think about who Satan is and demons are, we want to be biblical. We want to get our information from Scripture and believe that. Now, the Bible actually does tell us quite a bit about Satan. And again, I can't do it all, but we'll give a summary. Now, do you know the first time in the Bible where there's a clear reference to Satan? You may have said Genesis. We'll get there, but that's sort of right. But how about a clearer spot? Well, in Job 1 and 2, it's very interesting, though. Remember how it says in Job that the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan also came. Now, that's tough. I mean, that's almost a sermon in and of itself. But that Hebrew word for Satan is Satan. It's very similar to our English. And in Job, it has an article in front of it. So it's the Satan. It means the accuser. So the accuser comes before God and talks about Job. So that word in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, means Satan. The Satan means to accuse or oppose. It's even used in ways that aren't even talking about Satan. Like Solomon said, he had no Satans in his kingdom, no adversaries in his kingdom. So in the Old Testament, Satan shows up in Job as an adversary. And remember what the adversary did to Job, what God allowed the adversary Satan to do? Make Job's life a living hell. He wrecked his family. He gave Job those terrible sores so that Job was scraping himself with, you know, pieces of clay pot while sitting in ashes, wishing he was dead. So that's what the accuser did to Joshua. I'm sorry, Job. Speaking of Joshua, another place that this accuser shows up in the Old Testament is in Zechariah 3, where there's the high priest Joshua and Satan, the accuser, standing there accusing Joshua of sin. So that's another place. He's the accuser. He's the adversary. He's the accuser in the Old Testament. And one time, even in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles, the Satan, the adversary, persuaded David to sinfully do a census of Israel. So those are a couple of places in the Old Testament where you see Satan very clearly, the accuser, the adversary. Now, the New Testament tells us a lot more about Satan, actually. We know, for example, that remember how Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness? That's a very familiar story. He was tempting Jesus, trying to make Jesus sin and fail in his mission as Messiah. And remember, we've learned, it was last week when we read about a story of demons being cast out, that Satan is called the prince of demons or the ruler of demons, the chief of demons. So when we think of Satan, we think of him as the leader of the demonic realm. And Satan has a kingdom, a dark, wicked, evil kingdom. And he's even called, we learned, Beelzebul, which is, you know, found in the Old Testament for false gods. Beelzebul, Satan, the devil. It's the same person. Now, it's also interesting, Jesus himself. So we have New Testament teaching. I'll get to some specifics. Jesus tells us some things about Satan. In John's gospel, it's very clear. Satan is called the evil one because there's no truth in him. And Jesus says that Satan is a liar and, remember what else? The father of lies. So Satan can't tell the truth, essentially. He can spin the truth and distort the truth, but he's a liar and the father of lies. And Jesus also said in John 8 that Satan's been a murderer from the beginning. He's a murderer. And remember Jesus' parable that said, remember the parable of the seeds where the seed gets planted in the ground? And someone comes and plucks it out, right? It's the devil. He snatches the word out of people's hearts. And who entered into Judas? Satan did, to make Judas betray Jesus. So Jesus taught a lot about Satan. And Paul did too. And Paul would have known, you know, so Jesus knew Satan firsthand because Satan, you know, went and accused or tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And Paul also knew about Satan because remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? It was a messenger from Satan. So Paul was acquainted with Satan's attacking ways. And we're going to learn that Satan even hindered at least one of Paul's missionary journeys. So Paul knew some of the ways of Satan. And he taught that, for example, the devil is the god of this age or the god of this present age who blinds people's minds to keep them from seeing the glory of Jesus, he says in 2 Corinthians. And remember that Paul said that Satan can even disguise himself as a messenger or angel of light. And Paul even said in 2 Thessalonians that Satan has enough power to do false miracles and signs. So Paul knew about Satan. Paul taught about Satan. And the famous one, we know what Peter said about Satan. Who's Satan like? A roaring lion or, you know, prowling around trying to devour people so they fall away from Jesus. And again, maybe Peter knew this firsthand because remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Jesus said, Satan asked to sift you like wheat. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you so that your faith might not fail. So Peter was acquainted with Satan's attack. And Peter wrote about Satan. And finally, we also have, there's more, but another one, just finally for our purpose tonight. In Revelation, John taught about a lot about Satan. Did you see what John says in Revelation 12, verse 9? That's kind of the text that I was thinking of for starting with this talk on Satan. He calls Satan there in verse 9 the great dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, and the deceiver of the whole world. So that's who John tells us. And there's more in Revelation, but we learn in Revelation about the devil too. He's a great dragon, an ancient serpent, the devil. So here's where we can go back to Genesis 3. And when we, you know, think about the serpent tempting Eve, talking to Eve, well, John says that ancient serpent is the devil. So it's hard for us to understand. We don't want to speculate beyond Scripture, but somehow, we don't know how this works, but somehow the snake in that Genesis story was an instrument that the devil used to tempt Eve. So it's interesting. Near the beginning of the Bible, we have a story of Satan, and at the end, in Revelation, we have a story about Satan as well. Okay, well, there's more info. That's kind of a brief summary of who Satan is. And so let me just summarize it, though. He's a personal being in the Bible, isn't he? He's not like a force, you know, like in Star Wars or something. He's not like a force, but Satan is a personal being. He spoke to Jesus. Forces don't speak. Satan is a personal being. And is he good or evil? Of course, he's evil. He's terrible. He's called a liar, a murderer, a deceiver. He's the ruler of the forces of darkness. He's totally evil. There's nothing good in Satan. And he's powerful. He's compared to a lion and a dragon here. Peter compares him to a lion. John compares him to this great dragon. And he can do false miracles, Paul said. And so the great dragon here in Revelation is no wimp or minor character. He's powerful. He's not all powerful. And there's no hint in Scripture that Satan is everywhere present. But Satan is powerful. He can do powerful things. And Satan, we're going to get into this in a minute, but Satan is smart and crafty. He's called a schemer. He plans. He can make himself look good like a messenger of light. He knows Scripture really well because he used it to tempt Jesus. He's crafty. And finally, of course, the heart of it, of this teaching of Satan, is that he hates God. Satan hates Jesus. Satan hates good and truth. Satan hates Christ, and Satan hates you and me if we're Christians. He's our chief adversary. And so he's already defeated in one sense. In Revelation 12, remember, he's been thrown down. But now he's on the earth and his wrath is great, it says in verse 12, because he knows that his time is short. So he's not going to have this kind of power for long. But right now he's on earth, roaring, you know, going around like a roaring lion to devour people. He's still active today. Now, I didn't get into this, and just kind of a footnote. What's the origin of Satan? That's hard, too. And again, we don't want to speculate. But he's as old as the angels, and we know he's not a human, and that he didn't exist before creation. He's a created being, and he's probably then a fallen angel, where you can read about in Isaiah and Revelation, where he's cast down from heaven. Maybe he sinned, you know, before he tempted Eve somehow. We don't know all that, but we can kind of deduce some things from Scripture. Okay, so that's a kind of a summary of who Satan is. Just a biblical summary to give you a biblical picture of this terrible, evil adversary of ours. But what does Satan do? Does he just stay way far off in remote desert areas away from people and leave everyone alone? Well, no. Let me give you some Scripture summary on what Satan does. The second point, what Satan does. Now, one thing we already learned, and what John says here in Revelation 12, is that he's a deceiver. He's the deceiver, John says. So, what does Satan do? Well, he deceives people. And his career started in Genesis, when he tried to deceive Eve. Did God really say, don't eat from that tree? He came in there with these nice words, trying to deceive Eve and Adam. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, when Paul's writing in the New Testament to the Corinthian church, he was worried that, like the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, so he was worried that the Corinthian church would be led astray from a sincere, pure devotion to Christ. So, you know, the Corinthian problems. Paul is worried, he says in 2 Corinthians 11, that just like the serpent deceived Eve, I'm worried maybe that he's going to deceive you, because he's the deceiver. And that, in that context, then, when Paul talks about Satan being the deceiver, he says that Satan disguises himself as a messenger or an angel of light, which has to do with false teaching and false teachers. So one thing that Satan does is he wants to deceive you. He likes it when false teachers come and teach bad things. And he's behind false teaching. And he wants you to believe in false teaching. He'll deceive you. Somebody will come in and maybe you'll hear a podcast or you'll hear some sermon or something, and you'll be like, oh, that sounds pretty crafty and pretty neat. But it's not true, and it's tricky and deceptive. Satan wants to deceive you. And by the way, he's done that for thousands of years, so he's pretty good at it. He's a deceiver. Now, another thing that Satan does then is I don't have one word for this, he trips or tempts or traps people. It goes with deception. And again, it goes way back to Eve in the garden. He was trying to trick her by twisting God's word. And Satan tempted Jesus, quoting Scripture. Remember, Satan even quoted Scripture or alluded to Scripture. He sounded good, but he had this plan, this devious plan to trap Jesus. And there's a clear text in the New Testament about this. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul talks about the snare of the devil. Now, we use that word snare sometimes, but kids, if I say snare, do you know what that means? It means like a trap. I don't know if you've ever seen a rabbit trap. You put a snare there to catch a rabbit in it when he goes in to eat the food. Paul says that Satan has snares, traps. And so he wants us to sin. He puts the bait here, and it looks good, and we fall for the bait, and we sin against God, and we do something wrong. So Satan is a trickster. And there's a couple of instances more of this than 2 Timothy 2 and the snare of the devil. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 7, that's an interesting text where Paul talked about to married couples, and he said this, don't deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So there's a lot to be said about that. But there Satan is trying to tempt a husband and wife, you know, to commit sexual sins. And so, again, that's another way Satan sets traps to try to trick people into sexual sin. And there's one other place I'm thinking of in the New Testament about Satan tricking and trapping people. In 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul's talking to the Christians about suffering and afflictions and trials. And Paul said, he's writing, of course, he's not in Thessalonica when he writes, but he's writing to the Thessalonican Christians. And he says, basically, I'm desperate to hear about how you guys are doing. And then he said, and when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. So again, Satan is at work, or Paul is worried that Satan is at work there in Thessalonica. Because of their trials and afflictions and suffering, Satan would come in and trick them and tempt them to sin and to walk away from Jesus during their trial. And so there's some application for us, right? So these are ways that Satan still tricks and tries to trap us too. With a snare, maybe a sexual sin, or maybe during your trials and afflictions and suffering, Satan will come and say, oh, God doesn't really love you. Because if he loved you, you won't be suffering like this. I would just leave the faith if I were you. What kind of a God does this to his people? So Satan is crafty and tricking in that kind of a way. So he's a trickster and a tempter, and he sets traps. Now, another interesting thing that Satan does that you learn in the New Testament is that he thwarts or frustrates plans of Christians. What's the proof text for that? Well, remember, in at least one time, Satan did hinder Paul's missionary plans. And this is in 1 Thessalonians 2. And Thessalonians, again, that's interesting. I just was studying this week, so I don't have a lot to say about that. But a couple times in Thessalonians, Paul was referring to the work of Satan, you know, there. So maybe Satan was really attacking the church in Thessalonica. But Paul said he really wanted to go back to Thessalonica, but Satan hindered them. So again and again, Paul says, me and my missionary team, I want to go back and visit you guys, the church in Thessalonica, but Satan hindered us. Now, we don't know how Satan hindered. It doesn't say in the text. Maybe the city of Thessalonica put a legal ban on Paul because of a riot that he started earlier. But somehow, Satan blocked Paul from going back to Thessalonica. So sometimes Satan thwarts and frustrates, you know, missionary gospel-type plans. He did in the New Testament. It's hard to discern today. I'm not going to give you tips on discerning how, if Satan's thwarting plans. But he did that in the New Testament, and I'm sure he still does that today. Now, another one is that he accuses people. I already mentioned this. Our text in Revelation 12, he's called the accuser of our brothers in verse 10. He accuses them day and night before God. And he does a similar thing in Zechariah where he's, you know, with Joshua the high priest. So Satan is accusing us of sins before God, it seems like the text is leaning towards, and in Zechariah as well. And that's a difficult concept for me to get my mind around. But it does say in Revelation 12, he accuses them day and night before God. So that imagery seems to make it sound like Satan is, you know, somehow accusing us of sins to God in God's presence. Meredith, she doesn't really love you, Lord. You know, your people are sinful. And so on, accusing us before God. And possibly it means he accuses us, too. We've had this maybe in your own Christian life where sometimes you commit a sin and you repent of that sin and you feel sorry for that sin. And then years later, Satan will come and say, remember that sin that you committed? Is it really forgiven? Did you repent hard enough? And he'll rub it in your face. He's the accuser. So remember that Satan does this. When he comes and he speaks to you, when Satan tries to tempt you and trick you and trap you, he never has your best interest in mind. He hates you as a Christian. You're a Christian. He hates you. And nothing he ever says is for your Christian good. He wants you to fall and fail in your walk. And just by way of reminder, too, so that we don't despair, when Satan comes and tempts us or accuses us before God, we have a more powerful intercessor. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And never forget that story where I already mentioned it, where Jesus said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith might not fail. So in all of these temptations and all of these tricks, remember that Jesus is praying for you, people of God, that your faith might not fail. So don't despair. You can remember that Jesus is praying for you. Okay, one more briefly here. Satan tries to hurt and destroy people. Especially Christians. Satan is called a murderer by Jesus for a good reason. And that's why in Revelation 12 we have this heinous imagery of the great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns trying to devour the woman's child and the followers of Jesus later, it says. And Satan has great wrath, Revelation 12 says. So if you combine this with a roaring lion, he's an angry roaring lion trying to devour people. And we already learned this in the demons, right? They want to hurt people. Especially the people of God. So in summary, Satan is 100% opposed to Jesus. And he does all that he can to make the kingdom of God not grow. He wants people in his kingdom of darkness. Satan wants people to follow him, not follow Jesus. Satan wants people to serve idols and not God. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5, he messed with the church. So Paul says some people even turn to follow Satan. That's what he wants. That's what he does. So those are some things that Satan does. He deceives people. He tricks and tempts and traps them. He thwarts and frustrates our plans. He accuses us before God. He tries to hurt and destroy people. Now, what do we do with that? Now, how can we resist him or fight him? He's our sworn enemy, the Heidelberg Catechism says. No, I'm not going to do it all tonight. We don't have enough time. But I'll start giving just a few ways here that we can resist the devil. And this will carry on then into our the rest of the sermon series, a couple sermons on spiritual warfare. So again, I'm not going to do everything tonight on this, but let me just at least get us started. Remember that when it comes to Satan and our chief enemy, the devil, Satan, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 that we should not be outwitted by Satan's schemes. I mean, it's good for us to know the devil's schemes so that we can understand his M.O., how he works. And Peter tells us to stay alert and be watchful because Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. And James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we have calls in the New Testament to fight against the devil and be wary and watchful of his temptations and tricks and traps. Now, I had more. I don't have time to do them all, but I'm going to start with this one and we'll pick up the rest next week, Lord willing. But how then can we resist the devil? Okay, so you know, as a Christian, then you follow Jesus and you want to keep following Jesus. But you know that Satan has tempted and tricked you and he's going to keep doing that until you die or until Christ returns. How can you resist him? Well, the chief place that we go, of course, is Scripture, but especially to Jesus, in his temptation, when Satan tempted Jesus. So Jesus is an example for us in resisting temptation, and we can learn about resisting the devil from Jesus' teaching. So what did Jesus do when Satan tempted him? Do you remember? He turned to the Word. He said, "It is written." Of course, that would be the Old Testament for him. So that's, you know, probably the first thing to think about when Satan tempts you. There's more. We'll get to him. But what did Jesus? Well, he turned to the Word. So apply it to your own life. Maybe Satan will tempt you to yell at your husband or your wife or your mom or dad or kid, to yell at someone in anger. Satan will come and say, "Oh, did you see what she just said to you or hear that?" you got to scream back at him in anger. And then you want to resist the devil and you think, what does the Bible say? And then you can say to yourself, you can say to the devil, as it were, you can say, Colossians 3 tells me I must put away anger and wrath. So I'm not going to do that. It is written. Put away anger. Or sometimes when kids, too, you know, when Satan tempts us to hurt someone, maybe physically, or gossip about someone or say something bad about someone, Satan will trick us to try to do that and disobey God. And then you say and you think in your head and in your heart, you say, no, it is written that I should love others and be kind to them. And I mean, this application goes a long ways, doesn't it? You have to think about in your own life, in your own Christian walk, all these different areas of weakness where you've been tempted and are being tempted. And you got to pray that you can find Scripture and think of Scripture to help you fight temptation so that in those times of temptation, you can say, it is written. And fight temptation with the Word like Jesus did. Okay, again, I have some more. I don't have time to do them all tonight. And let me just fast forward. Revelation's message, I guess in two words, Jesus wins. And if I can expand that, and we win with him and in him. We learn that Satan is real. He's powerful and he wants to trip us up and make us walk away from Jesus. He's been thrown down to earth. He's terribly angry, but his time is short. Right now he's bound for this, 1,000 years until Christ comes again, this figurative 1,000 years. But in Revelation 20, verse 10, actually, if you have your Bibles open, here's the end of Satan. It says in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what happens to Satan in the end? He loses. He'll be tormented day and night forever and ever for all of the terrible evil that he's done. Because Jesus wins. And you win with him, and I win with him. And that's what Paul means when he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. But until Satan is totally defeated, we stand on God's promise in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. I'll end with this. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Amen. Let's pray.